ghosts are here. The ghosts are here, needing to be fed with answers to the questions of the restless dead. There are dark thoughts circling in my head. I wish I'd listened to everything they said. The ghosts are here.
Welcome to the GhostsOnDrugs.com podcast, which features tales from the Ghosts on Drugs short story anthology edited by Hi Bender and Will Paoletto. Tonight's episode is A Libation for Hestia by John Etter. It's performed by P.J. Sosco, Dana Watkins, Grace Rex, and Caroline Cotter. A Libation for Hestia by John Etter. When I walked out of the Milwaukee lockup on that cold March day, I was surprised to see the kid standing across the street watching me. Normally, you couldn't have drug him near the lockup, but there he was. I figured he must have missed me something awful to be waiting for me like that. I hollered, "Hey, kid!" and waved. Bus rolled past, and just like that kid was gone. Kid's still sore, I thought. Well, I guess I don't blame him much. The kid and I had been running together for the better part of 2 years, starting the night he came to town. He'd been living on the streets of Chicago since his parents kicked him out at 15. Didn't take long for some scumbag to get his hooks in the boy and pimp him out to Chicken Hawks for 3 years before the kid had enough and hopped the train that brung him here. He wandered into a little camp we had going in an old warehouse not too far from the tracks. I noticed him right away. Skinny, short, spiky hair. Kind of girly. Barely looked a day over 13. He had all the marks of a punk just asking for a jocker to come swoop him up, which is what Big Bill Biggis was looking to do. It was starting the way it always starts with Big Bill. Few jokes, few sips of his Mad Dog 2020. Tips on getting by in Milltown and such. Normally, I just let nature take its course. I mind my business. I leave people to theirs. But something about this kid made it not sit right with me.
Hey, John Henry.
Big Bill was all smiles as I walked up. He held out his bottle.
Have a drink with me and my new friend Tony here.
Well, I'm more of a whiskey man myself, but I ain't too particular. So I accepted the bottle and took a pull, and I made it a long one. A lot longer than's polite, eyeing Big Bill the whole time. His smile started looking mighty strained. Appreciate it, I said, handing the bottle back. I need a few words with this kid, if you don't mind.
Sure thing. Tony, this is...
In private.
Now, John, I don't see why...
Now, he stopped. As soon as I pushed back my coat so that stuck behind the hammer I always kept tucked in my belt. You see, I'd worked construction back before I drank myself out on the streets, and that hammer's the only thing I got left in my old life. And it has kept me pretty damn safe over the years. Earned me my nicknames and my real name, Sam, and a reputation that kept most folks from messing with me over much. Now, Big Bill, even though he was a foot taller than me, no exception. Smile now gone, he said quietly.
Sure thing.
I led the kid a little ways away. He was trembling, clearly not sure what to make of me. It's when I figured out what got to me about him. He reminded me of this stray dog that followed me home when I was a kid. Slightest noise made her jump and she'd run away if anyone other than me got anywhere near her. It was the saddest fucking thing ever. Don't worry, I said. I ain't gonna do nothing to you. I just want to make sure you know the score.
Score?
Big Bill's looking to make his boy. Now you go with him. You and anything you can panhandle or scrounge up is gonna be his. And once you are his, it's awful hard to stop being his. Is that what you want?
No.
I really didn't want to have anything to do with this, but looking at that kid, couldn't get that fucking dog out of my head. All right, you need to get the fuck out of here now. Steer clear of Big Bill till he finds another punk. If I walk out with you, Bill won't follow. Where are you sleeping tonight?
Dunno. I just got here.
Where's your stuff?
Over there. Just my sleeping bag and backpack.
Okay. Grab him. Follow me. I'm camped under a bridge a little ways from here. Should be room for you there for the night, if you want.
You trying to make me your boy?
Nah.
Then why are you doing this?
You remind me of my dog. Now we going or what? Kid grabbed his things and we left. Now I just meant to be a good Samaritan. Help the kid out and be done with it, but he kept hanging around just like the damn dog. Was kind of annoying at first. The kid asked so many questions, you wouldn't have guessed he'd been on his own for 3 years, but... And I guess he hadn't really run free back in Chicago. He wore me down after a while, so as I got used to having him around. It was nice having someone to spend the long days and even longer nights with. Someone to talk to. Someone who actually gave a damn if I lived or died. Hell, I ain't ashamed to say it. I love the kid. One thing I learned about him pretty quick, the kid was crazy about Greek myths. He was obsessed with them. Could name all the gods and goddesses and everything. Hell, he half believed in them. At least he believed in them more than the asshole god his parents believed in that made them throw him out. He had this book of myths, took everywhere with him. He'd had it since before he was living on the streets. A lot of us have got something like that. Me, I got my hammer. The kid, his book. Everybody's got to have something to hang on to, especially when you lose so much. Anytime he was just sitting around doing nothing, he'd read the book over and over again. I'm sure he had it memorized, but he would just keep on reading it anyway. When I asked him what was so great about it, he started reading it out loud to me in that quiet little voice of his. Every night, as the sun went down, he'd read me all these stories of gods and heroes and magic and stuff, and I started to get it. They was crazy and bloody and sexy. You never could tell what was gonna happen. I remember one nice full night, after it was too dark to read, we was laying there looking up at the stars. And I asked him, so if the gods was real, right, and they said they'd grant you, what you call it?
A boon?
Yeah, a boon. So one of them will grant you this boon, right? Which one you gonna pick? What you gonna ask for?
For a long time, I thought I'd ask Aphrodite or Zeus to change me. You know, make me the way I was always supposed to be.
Yeah, I get you.
And if I could score a couple of boons, I'd do that. But really, right now, I'd ask Hestia for a home. Some place for you and me to be safe and warm and always welcome.
Don't need to go wasting no boons on that, kid. We'll get there. You and me. Then winter came. Our first one together was pretty mild, but the second one, that was killer. For real. By January, 6 people we knew, good people, were dead from the cold. The shelters tried to pack in as many of us as they could, but there's only so much space. Kid was holding up okay, but then he was only 20. Yeah, he was cold, but he wasn't feeling the aches or the bone-deep chills that you get when you're closing in on 50 like I was. After spending a day in the Milwaukee Public Library keeping warm, it was closing time and we was back out in the cold. I couldn't take it no more. So I told the kid we should get ourselves arrested, thrown in lockup for a month or two. I knew he would flip out. And he did.
No way. I can't.
Kid, I know what the guard back in Cook County done to you, but the guards here in Milwaukee...
Guards is guards and cops is cops.
Nah, kid. The guards at the county lockup ain't bad.
They'll separate us. We won't be together for what, a month? More?
Yeah, that's true, but we'll have regular meals for a while. Decent beds.
How can you...
And you won't fucking freeze to death.
So you'll just leave me? You can't take the cold, so you just...
Nobody's leaving nobody. Kid, the fuck's wrong with you? I'm saying we both get ourselves locked up, and yeah, we won't be together for a while, but at least we'll be fucking alive, and...
No, fuck that. Fuck it sideways. I'd rather die than be in lockup again.
And that's what will fucking happen if we don't, you little shit. If we don't get inside this winter, we will fucking die. At least I will.
Fine, old man. Go fucking rot in jail if that's what you want. Goodbye.
Kid. Wait. Kid! I was blind with rage right then. Fucking kid making me feel guilty for not wanting to freeze to death. And after everything I'd done for him, he'd deny me maybe a little comfort, maybe the only chance to make it through the spring. I didn't know what to do. So I chose what I always did. I got a bottle. And I let it do the thinking for me. I don't really remember drinking the fifth of whiskey or smashing the window of that convenience store with it, but that's what they said I'd done, so... I must have done it. My case came up before Judge Ehrenreich. Good guy. The law called for me to do 30 days, but he knew the score. He made it 60 to help me out. That first night, stretched out on my bunk, I thought of the kid out there in the cold. I hoped he'd wised up and got himself locked up. I hoped he'd be okay. I hoped he'd forgive an old man who just needed to get warm. During my 60, they made me go through treatment, so when I came out clean and sober, and I swore I'd stay that way. If I could keep the thirst from taking over, maybe I could hold down a job. Maybe get a place like the kid wanted. Hell, gods didn't seem to be in no hurry to bestow no fucking boons on us, so I thought maybe I could get this one and square things with the kid. With the kid gone, I stood there thinking, yeah, he just ran. But he knew when I was due out and manned up enough to come near the lockup just to see me. He'll come around. It'll be just like it was. It was late in the afternoon and I needed to get settled for the night. I figured it was probably too late to get into one of the shelters since it was still pretty cold, but not dangerous cold. Plus, the kid didn't like the shelters and rarely slept in them. Last place we'd camped together was this empty building we'd found near the edge of downtown. Maybe the kid would be there. Maybe not. Either way, keep the wind off of me. After hoofing it for an hour or two, I was almost there when this cop car pulled over. Shit. I thought, fucking luck. Of course I'm gonna get a vagrancy ticket the day I get out. So, officer walks over. It's a dame. Tall young thing, probably fresh out of the academy, blonde then. She was smiling, but that doesn't always tell you much with the cops.
Excuse me, sir, got a minute?
The sir threw me a little. Not something I was used to hearing. Yeah.
Officer Gatzan. And you are?
John Henry.
Nice to meet you, sir.
Thanks.
So you're probably wondering why I stopped you.
No, I got you. Vagrancy. But see, thing is,
Let me stop you there, sir. No need for an explanation. I'm not issuing you a ticket. See, the MPD just set up a new program. The Homeless Outreach Team. I'm one of six officers on it. Anyway, we're here to help you folks out in any way we can.
Huh.
Have you got a place to stay tonight, sir?
I think so.
Okay, is there anything you need? I've got blankets, sleeping bags.
I could probably use a sleeping bag.
Here you go. And here's a knapsack. It's got some water bottles, granola bars, lip balm, sunscreen, some Band-Aids, and some other stuff to help you get by.
Thanks.
And here's my card. That's got my name, badge number, and the number to get a hold of me if you need anything. On the other side is a bunch of numbers to services that might be able to help you out.
Yeah, I'll program that in my cell phone first chance I get.
The shelters have got phones, and there are still a few pay phones around town. Is there anything I can do for you?
I was about to ask her about the kid when I saw him on the next block standing there outside the building we'd squatted in before. Not right now, excuse me. I gotta go.
Okay, you take care now.
I rushed down the street afraid the kid would bolt again, which is just what he'd done. The kid darted down the alley next to our squat, and by the time I made it there, he was gone. I went over to the basement window we'd used to get in and out before, boarded shut. I scanned the alley for another way in, but didn't see one. Must have climbed the chain link fence at the far end of the alley, but damn, he had to have been fast. I took out my hammer, pried the boards off the basement window, made my way slowly through the darkness. Finding the stairs, I went up to an office space on the third floor. The kid and I had enjoyed the view. I laid out my new sleeping bag and eventually dozed off. Sometime in the night, I woke up and saw the kid standing by the window looking at me. He was about 30 feet or so away from me, and the streetlights outside gave him this kind of eerie glow. Kid? Is that you? Kid? He just stood there, not saying nothing. I got up and walked to him. It was definitely him, but pale, like he didn't have no more blood in him. And his eyes, they were desperate. More desperate than I'd ever seen anybody look. I reached out a hand to put it on his shoulder. It's okay, kid. I'm back now. And we'll... And then my hand passed through him. His whole body sort of swirled and drifted out and away. And then he was gone. The next day, I started asking around about the kid. The wind had driven people into whatever safe places they could find, so if someone didn't make the round of the shelters, they tended to drop off the radar, and the kid, who had never liked the shelters, was off the radar. That afternoon, I finally had a bit of luck. Sarge Jenkins, this big old veteran with a head as smooth and brown as an acorn, came bobbling out of the guest house shelter for a smoke. He'd been living on the streets of Milwaukee for as long as a lot of us had been alive. If there was anything to know that was worth knowing, Sarge usually knew it. He squinted at me through his Coke bottle glasses.
Hello there, John Henry.
Sarge, I said, giving him a little salute, a sign of respect he'd always seemed to appreciate. His missing teeth made him look like a jack-o'-lantern when he smiled at me.
At ease, soldier. Shit, son, you look like you've seen death itself.
Damn near. You believe in ghosts?
Of course I do. Got a pack of them will follow me around all the time. Can't seem to drink or smoke them away.
No, I mean, for real, ghosts. Like the dead actually coming back and haunting your ghosts.
Maybe. I've seen a few over the years, and maybe it's just been the booze and the drugs, but I read enough, and I've seen enough to believe in them. Who's haunting you?
The kid.
Your dad?
Must be. I seen his ghost, and ain't nobody seen him since I went in the stir.
I seen him.
Yeah? What did you see?
Right after they took you in, I spotted a kid getting friendly with the professor and Crazy Joe.
I thought they was both throwing five in secure detention.
They was. They got out right when you went in.
Shit. Everybody knew the professor had a taste for teen runaways. And Crazy Joe was probably the most dangerous man I have ever met. He was a little guy, maybe 5'6" if he had big boots on. But he was stocky, vicious, and batshit insane. I knew guys that had ears bit off and eyes gouged out by Joe. Half the time, for no damn reason other than Joe deciding they had it coming, I never thought to warn the kid about them because they wasn't around. So fucking stupid. Sarge put his hand on my shoulder.
Now, talking to him don't mean they did nothing. Maybe the kid hopped a train or...
Kid didn't go nowhere. The kid's dead. I told you I seen him.
Well, that don't necessarily mean they done it. Now, best talk with him before you go and do something stupid.
And if I decide they done it?
Then I guess you take your hammer in your hand, John Henry, and you do something stupid. I don't guess that kid'll rest until you do. That's how ghosts work, I hear. They hang around because something needs doing, and that ain't done.
Oh, it'll get done, Sarge. It will get fucking done. Didn't take long to find the professor. Guy was a big bookworm, always reading, putting on airs. Never did see him without a book in his hand. Must have stolen hundreds of them in his time. That's probably what drew the kid to him. That and his oily charm. When I seen Crazy Joe hanging outside the Milwaukee Public Library, Joe had caused too many problems there to ever be allowed back in. I knew I'd find the professor inside. Gave Joe a nod as I walked past. He didn't say nothing. Just kind of started and balled up his fists. Twitches told me that he wasn't on his meds and probably hadn't been for a while. Found the professor at a study table on the second floor twirling his long gray beard while he read. I sat down across the table from him. What you reading, Professor?
Marcus Aurelius, Meditations. I've been in a classical mood lately. To what do I owe the pleasure of this visit, John Henry?
Kid named Tony. I'm looking for him.
And why would you be doing that?
He's missing.
And what is he to you? Were you...
We was partners.
Partners? Interesting. I never really knew you to have partners before.
Give me the damn book. Cut the shit, Professor. I know you and Joe talked with him.
Well, we did. Quite distraught he was. Felt betrayed, abandoned. Why, I would venture to say you broke the poor lad's heart by getting yourself locked up, John.
You remember my hammer? You tell me what happened to him right goddamn now, or I will smash your fucking brains.
Put that thing away, please, before you get us both kicked out. I believe young Tony left town.
He left?
Yes, he didn't see the point of sticking around here on his own. And nothing to keep him here, he said. Too many bad memories now, and some such. I believe he said something about hopping a train back to Chicago.
Chicago?
Yes, I think he said he had family there, probably went back to them.
You're saying he went back to Chicago?
Well, I can't say I know for sure. I didn't watch him get on a train or anything. Maybe he headed to Minneapolis or said maybe Memphis, Atlanta. Hell, Atlantis for all I know. Who can say? Now, may I please have my book back?
Here, take it.
A rare pleasure, John Henry. Let's make it rarer.
I passed by Crazy Joe on my way down the street. He put a hand on my chest.
What are you doing in here?
I knocked his hand away. Not a smart move, but I wasn't in the mood to take shit from nobody just then. I had to talk to your boss about a kid.
Yeah? What'd the professor say?
Said the kid was going to hop a train out of town.
Yeah, that's what she done.
What did you say?
She done left town. Just like she told us she was gonna do.
Okay, then. That's when I knew beyond a doubt they'd killed the kid. The professor and Crazy Joe had to have some sort of squat going if they'd gotten out in the middle of winter. Shelters weren't an option on account of Crazy Joe being so crazy. When the library closed, I tailed the two of them to a boarded out rotten Victorian out along State Street. Part of me wanted to go in and splatter their brains all over the floor right then and there, but I wasn't completely sure I could take them both until I got the jump on them. Instead, I left. If I was gonna do it, I had to do it right. The kid deserved his revenge. And that night, the kid came back. He was standing at the window again, looking down at me, nothing but need on his face. "Tomorrow, kid," I said, tears filling my eyes. "Tomorrow." And I wiped the tears away. He was gone. I spent the next morning panhandling and scraped together enough dough for a burger and a fifth of whiskey. The burger, I ate right then. The whiskey, I saved for later, when I'd really need it. Quick walk past the library that afternoon showed Crazy Joe outside on guard duty, so the professor had to be camped out inside. I hightailed it out to their squat on State Street. Going around the back, I saw fresh turned dirt in the backyard. Took me a second to realize what that probably meant. Ground would have been too frozen until now to bury anything in it. The back door, which I could tell had once been boarded up, opened on a dingy kitchen that stank of mold and mildew and rotting meat. Empty beer, wine, whiskey bottles covered the countertops, filled the sink. A couple doorways missing their doors led through a rundown dining room and into a large, filthy living room. Stinking blankets formed little nests on either side of an immense stone fireplace filled with ashes. Mad Dog bottles and fast food wrappers lay scattered everywhere. In one corner was a pile of books. I walked around, taking it all in. The wood floor next to the blankets had a big, reddish-brown stain. So this is where it happened. I started poking through the books until I found what I was looking for. Gods and Goddesses of Ancient Greece. I opened it. Inside the front cover, scribbled over to the point almost being unreadable, was Antoinette Fisher. Name the kid was born with. See, it had taken the kid over 6 months with me to get up the courage to tell me that he was really a girl. Or at least, his body was. I don't know. I can't explain it as good as he did. He was afraid I'd spaz out like his Jesus freak parents did and ditch him. So I knew that there was no way he'd even think about going back to Chicago, and there was no way the kid would have spilled enough for Crazy Joe to think to call him she. And now, between the book and the stain and the dirt outside, oh, I had all the proof I needed. The front door to the place was nailed shut, so I figured the professor and Crazy Joe must have been using only the back door, which meant they'd come in and head to the little nest right there in the living room the same way I did. If I stood just to the side of the doorway in, oh, I could get the jump on them. One quick shot to Joe's head, if it was a good one, should take him out. If I could get to him first, I knew I could take the professor without getting fucked up too badly. And that was the plan. I took out my hammer, hefted it a few times. It'd do the trick if I was mad enough to use it without hesitating, and I was mad enough. Mad at those two fuckers for what they'd done. Mad at the fucking pimp for turning out an innocent kid. Mad at his fucking parents for thinking he was a pervert just because he was born different. And mad at a world where kids like Tony end up on the streets for no fucking reason. I just needed one more thing. Took out the bottle of whiskey I'd picked up. All my life, when I felt good, I had a drink. When I felt shitty, I had a drink. And when I got mad, oh, I had me a big old drink. And when I got mad, boy, did the drink help me be good at being mad. That's why I lost my wife and job and everything else some 20 years ago. Drink helped me be just too damn good at being mad. I twisted off that cap and got ready to be as mad as I had ever been in my life. "Kid," I said, "this is for you." As I lifted that bottle, I heard someone behind me whisper.
No!
I turned, and there was the kid. In the light of day, he looked even paler and even more wispy, like he was made of smoke. Kid, I'm gonna get these fuckers for you. I'm gonna lay them low, and then you can rest. Kid's ghost shook his head and mouthed the word,
no.
That didn't make no sense to me. What do you mean, no? You can't rest until I do this. This is what is keeping you around, right? Again, the kid shook his head. Then what? What do you need, kid? Why are you still around? He mouthed something. I couldn't quite make it out. He tried again, desperate for me to understand, but I still wasn't getting it. Finally, he opened his mouth, and looking like he was struggling with every bit of himself to do it, he whispered,
Boone. My Boone.
After that, he stood there, eyes pleading with me. And I got it then. I knew what he wanted. I nodded. Okay, kid, I said, tucking my hammer back in my belt and the bottle in my pocket. I got it. I'll do what I can, I swear to you, kid. I will do what I can. Relief washed over the kid's face, and then he just puffed away, like cigarette smoke taken by the wind. I took the kid's book, figured there'd be enough evidence in that house for the police to do their job without it, and got the hell out of there. As I walked, I went through my coat pockets until I found what I was looking for. All right, Officer Gatson, I do got something you can do for me. I never did find out exactly what happened to the kid in that house. But then again, I didn't really want to find out, although I'm sure he put up a fight. For what they'd done, the professor and Crazy Joe will rot in jail until the day they die. Too good a fate for them, if you ask me, but them giving them what they deserved probably would have meant that I wouldn't be able to give the kid what he deserved. After that day in the house, I got myself back in treatment. I was still sober from my time in lockup, but I knew it wouldn't take much for me to fall off the wagon again. Also got myself into a transition program to help get folks like me get back on their feet. Real helpful. Taught me a lot of coping strategies, as they call it, to help me get through the rough patches. Even got me set up with a job at a local food pantry. But the big thing was when they hooked me up with my place. Ain't nothing fancy, just a studio apartment, but it's warm and it's dry and safe and ours to call home. The night I moved in, the kid was there. I don't think I've ever seen a purer look of joy as I see it on that kid's face that night. I told you we would get here eventually, kid, and here we are. The kid mouthed the word at me. I got you, kid. You don't have to remind me. I listened to you all them nights we was together, and I read your damn book every night since I got back. I know what to do. Out of the bags I brung in, took out a candle and lit it. Then I pulled out a fifth of whiskey and walked to the sink. I opened the bottle and held it up. Hestia, come now into this house. Draw near and bestow grace on us. And I poured the bottle down the drain. The kid rushed over and threw his arms around me. As soon as he touched me, he started to break all apart. Go on, kid. You're home. You can rest now. It ain't easy for me. Some days I get so fed up with things I want to just say, fuck it, and walk. Some days I get so down that I think I don't deserve all of this. I should be back on the street where I belong. Some days the thirst gets so great that I start to tell myself, one little drink ain't gonna hurt, I can handle that. And then I think of the kid. I ain't seen him since that day, but I think I still feel him there watching over me. And that is enough to keep me on the straight and narrow. See, I don't know if there are any gods up there in the sky, and if there are, I don't think they really give one shit about me. Only one who ever did was the kid. And I'm probably the only one who ever gave a shit about him. I let him down once. I ain't gonna do it again. As long as I got breath here in this body, I am gonna do my damnedest to grant him that boon and give him the home that he deserves. This has been the GhostsOnDrugs.com podcast, which features tales from the Ghosts on Drugs short story anthology edited by High Bender and Will Paoletto. Please come haunt us again soon.
Ghost ride the whip.